Everybody say amen. Amen. Good to see everyone. Well, this morning we're going to be in the book of James. And if you want to turn there, James chapter 5, verse 16. We're going to talk about one verse this morning. James chapter 5, verse 16. It's always amazing to me, and then I guess to be real frank with you, I'm not really amazed anymore because I almost expect it whenever the worship music, you know, is played. I'm like, oh, that goes right along with my message. It goes right along with my sermon. Even this morning went right along with David's prayer, didn't it? Amen. James chapter 5. So we do have a little deep message this morning. So I want you to buckle up for me. Is that okay? And buckle up. Yep. Put your seatbelts on. And we'll see what the Lord. I feel the Lord really has something for us this morning. I feel He has every morning, but this morning seems to be a little special. So we'll see. Let's pray. Father, we just love You and thank You. Thank You so much for sending Your Son Jesus to die on the cross. Lord, we just open up this message and the sermon. I give it over to You. Lord, You know all week I've been praying for folks' hearts that there will be fertile soil. So I just pray that this word, this seed will be planted in good soil, fertile, willing to grow and change us all into the men and women that You've called us to be. Thank You for the praise reports. For Miss Dale and Anthony, and we do lift up Ken, Mr. Don's brother, who pulled together as one body, plead the blood of Jesus over their lives. Lord, You know how desperately I need Your help this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So James chapter 5, verse 16. I'll read it. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other, and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So last week, you know, we talked about encouraging each other. So this morning, I want to talk to you about praying for each other. And we all know how important that is. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, he said, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. He said, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Amen. Now, we are those saints that he's talking about. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection, you've been saved, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, sealed for that day, you are a saint. You might not feel like a saint, but you are, according to Scripture. Now, James stresses two things in our main verse. First of all, he wants us to know, everybody say no. He wants us to know that prayer is powerful and effective. I've mentioned this before, but I'm here right now mainly because of God's grace, but because of my mother's prayers. I know that for sure. And a lot of you are here this morning because of your mother, father, or grandparents' prayers. But I know I am. I've told that story before. Maybe I'll tell it again some other time. Prayer can accomplish much. With God, all things are possible. God answers our prayers. The second thing James wants us to know is that we need to pray for each other. And I'm pausing because I really want this to sink in. I don't want this to be, okay, yeah, we know that. I've heard that 1,000 times. I want this to get deep down in your heart. I feel an urgency because of the time that we live in, the days that we live in, that we really need to pray for each other. Okay? If we decide to do this, okay, and really, really start praying for each other, it involves an intimate relationship where we share our struggles and our needs with each other so that we know what we need to pray for each other about. When we pray for others, God moves in His amazing ways. Right, Anthony? Amen. The Apostle Paul is a great example for us. The Apostle Paul was not too proud, and he was not too self-reliant to ask for prayers. This is Paul we're talking about. Over and over again in his letters, Paul requested prayer. A lot. Not only did Paul request prayer, but he also made known to others that he is praying for them. Okay? Now, I'm going to ask a lot of questions in this message because I think you may have these questions. I'm assuming, anyway. So one question is, what difference can prayers make in the lives of others? Now, we're not talking about Sunday school prayers. And I don't mean that to be insultive, you know. I'm not minimizing Sunday school prayers. Okay? Our prayers can literally save a life. It can save a marriage. It can save a lot of heartache and trouble from wrong decisions. Prayers can save a life. So, let's start really praying for each other. Knowing that someone is praying for me makes me feel, I can't even explain it. Knowing that, really, I have a few men that I know has really kind of come together with me, that I know I can trust, I can talk to, I know they pray for me, I know they hold my hands up, and that means a lot to me. And you know who you are. God hears our prayers. God hears our prayers when we call for help. When we need guidance. When we need a comforting. When we need correction. God still, He answers our prayers. Psalms 34:6. David said, "This poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him and helped him with his troubles." Now, let's set that up. So let's take a little bit closer look at our verse, James 5:16. Ready? I know the time, so here we go. It says, "Therefore confess your sins to each other." We're going to talk about that word, confess. Okay? "And pray for each other, that you may be healed." We're going to talk about that word, healed. So if you're taking notes, this is a good time to get ready. It says, "The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Are you righteous?" Yes, you are if you're a born-again Christian. If you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you believe in the death, burial, resurrection, you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're saved, born again, adopted into the family of God, the Bible says you are righteous. In other words, that word righteous means right standing with God. In other words, you're good to go with God. Not because of anything that you did or I did, but because of everything that Christ did on the cross for us. He has clothed us in His righteousness. Mine is like filthy rags, just like yours. But in Christ Jesus, we are made righteous. In other words, you're a saint. And here's a good one you're going to feel uncomfortable with. But you're holy. Oh, I don't feel holy. It's not about the feelings. We're not saved by our feelings. Okay, that's another message. When you hear the word confess, What kind of feelings do you get? Maybe feelings of embarrassment, maybe feelings of shame, maybe feelings of fear, worry. That's actually what I used to feel when I thought about the word confess. I pictured an old scary priest. No offense to our Catholic brothers, I should say. I pictured an old scary priest or an intimidating, prune-faced church leader that was going to look down on me and kind of judge me. Being honest, I bet you guys, most of you guys feel the same way. I would have thoughts like, what would they think about me if they really knew me? It is clear that the Bible calls us to confess our sins to one another. But the question is, why do I need to do that? And even if I do, what is the biblical way to confess to one another? We're going to dig around here, so y'all hang with me, okay? First of all, please understand that confession is a beautiful gift that God has given us. It's a beautiful gift. So what is confession? I'll tell you what it's not first. Because most people don't really truly understand what confession means. So here's what it's not. Everybody say not. Okay? Confession is not going to a church leader, confessing every sin that you've done that day or that week or even in your old lifetime. It's not what confession is. Confession, hang with me, listen to this. Listen to this whole part here. Confession is not praying to God every night, hunting down every possible sin of the day, believing that if you forget one of them, God won't forgive it. How many's played that cycle of fear and worry? Some of you know what I mean. That's not confession. First of all, and foremost, before I get started, biblical confession is speaking with God. It's speaking with God. We share with Him the areas that we know we have messed up in. We know that we have sinned. It's you getting alone and talking with the Lord. We acknowledge to God that we messed up. We talk with Him about it. We ask Him to forgive us. And we accept His forgiveness. That's where most people fall short. They just won't accept it. Accept that He has forgiven you. And believe it. And don't bring it up again. Why do we confess our sins to God when He knows everything anyway? Because it's really not about what God knows. Okay? It's about our connection with Him. Please listen to this part here. It's about our connection with Him. Our fellowship with Him. Everybody look at me. You have a relationship and then a fellowship. Kind of makes a cross. A relationship is based on our relation. We are related to God. We have been accepted into the family of God. We have been born again. We've been adopted into His family. We now are related to God. That's our relationship. That can never be broken. That is sealed by the Holy Spirit. Nothing can take us out of the hand of God. It's eternal security. That's our relationship with God. And then, over here, this is our fellowship. And this is sort of all about feelings. Yes, I said it. It's about feelings. Our relationship is about what? Our relationship is about what? Come on. I'm standing here. Talk to me. Our relationship. Okay, we are related to God. And then our fellowship is based kind of on what? Our feelings. And we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. Okay? Confession, and I'll pick on the husbands, all right? Confession is like the husband who knows he has done something wrong, you know, with his wife. And he can feel that there's a wall has been formed between them. You know what I mean? Raise your hand. Should be everybody. All men, anyway. There's this thing, this wall, right? Now, what does he need to do? The husband needs to go to his wife, admit his mistake, and ask for forgiveness so that they can feel connected again. I mean, as husbands and wives, how many times have we went through this little cycle? If you're married a long time, it's weekly almost, maybe monthly. I don't know. I don't want to get myself too deep in this. But this thing, this is a fellowship, right? It's kind of like the prodigal son. Think about it. The prodigal son, he was related to his father. He's always going to be his father. He's always going to be his son. But what happened when he got rebellious and went off and got into his own thing? He broke what? That fellowship. So he started feeling bad. I'm sure his father felt bad and had negative emotions and all this stuff, you know. But he was still a son, even though he was off in a pig pen doing whatever he did. He was still his son. The relationship was still there. The fellowship was broken. In other words, there's negative emotions kind of going on. In the same way, everybody listen? In the same way, we too must go to God. It's for the sake of the connection. Admit where we've sinned and ask God to forgive us. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they felt what? Shame. And they hid from God in fear. And even though nothing can separate us from the love of God, sin has a tendency to make us run and hide. Go away. When we start entertaining sin in our life, I don't want to come to church, I start feeling kind of bad or guilty, or I don't want to listen to K-Love this week, because I've been, because you start listening to worship music and all that, you start feeling kind of bad, whatever you want to call bad, guilty maybe, or, got to make that right. Ask God to forgive us. Because if we don't, that stuff opens up the doors for this. Fear, shame, lies, and starts this endless cycle of continual sin. And if we don't ask God to forgive it and get a clean heart about it, what happens is we have a tendency, our human nature has a tendency to get deeper and deeper in this hole and deeper in this hole. That is why God, in His goodness, gave us an answer to break this constant cycle so that we feel clean again. We feel right. And you guys heard this scripture before. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Everybody get it? Everybody with me? Confession is not for God, it's for us. Confession is the tool God uses to cleanse our heart, aka our emotions. Here's something else, guys. Confession opens up our heart to receive God's forgiveness and points us back to our desperate need for Jesus. When all that sin is placed up against the cross, it has to be broken. All the shame, all the lies, all the guilt up against the cross is broken. Now, I have to throw in a however. You guys ready? However, if we, including myself, If we are unwilling to confess to God, we refuse to connect with Him again. And we deny our need for the cross in this subject or this matter. Yes, you may still be saved, but you feel like a mess. Yes, you still will be saved, but you may feel bad, may feel ugly. You may feel a negative way. And the effects of this become spiritual, emotional, and physical. King David felt this way when he hid his sin. He said in Psalms 32:3, ready? He says, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long." You see, God wants to wipe away that agonizing shame, that fear, those lies. This is why he said in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, he says, "Repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." Listen to what this is saying here. Confession to God always brings a refreshing from God. And what happens is there's a restored fellowship. And it actually makes us feel clean. And it gives us peace of mind. Next question. Do I need to confess my sin to a person? What does it say? Why does it say that? The Bible says yes. But let's stop right here. Let's get this one thing clear. Everybody hear me. Justification comes from God alone. Confessing my sin to a human has no power to save me or get me to heaven. Zero. Only God can forgive our sins with the power of His grace and the sacrifice of the cross. However, we just read the scripture. The Bible's clear that we are to confess our sins to one another. So why? Why? This whole message is wrapped up in just, I'm about to say, right here. Why do we confess our wrongs, our sins, to another person? Hear me clear. Forgiveness comes from confessing to God. But healing comes when we confess to one another. Now, yes, you can confess to God and He can heal that wound or that old trauma or whatever. Absolutely. But most of the time, it's this scripture right here. Most of the time, in counseling for 28 years, almost every single time I can remember, true healing comes when you share your burden with one another. Have you ever noticed that even after confession to God, that sometimes you still feel alone or broken or like something is still not quite right? You confess it to God. Sometimes it doesn't feel right. Most of us, I'd say, have felt this way at some point in our life. This is because, listen closely, I know I keep saying it a lot, but this I really need to get this. This is because the enemy tries to put a lie in our minds that says this. This is what the enemy will try to say. You know, God understands and can forgive you, but no other human being can. If they knew what I've done, they would never look at me the same again. If anyone found out, they would realize I'm not who they thought I am. These are all lies. These are all lies from the enemy that doesn't want you to be completely healed from whatever you may be dealing with. God knows that when we hide our sin from another person, we begin to feel isolated. We begin to feel alone. We begin to feel that no one knows what I'm going through or went through. They begin to feel, and this is all coming from the enemy, they begin to feel that no one would understand me. I'm the only one that this has ever happened to. This is the only one that's ever done this. And that is a straight lie. Whenever we start believing these lies, we begin to walk on eggshells. We begin to get paranoid about the what ifs. What if this? What if that? What if? We begin to wear emotional masks. It causes us sometimes to just walk around kind of fake. Some folks can begin to start wearing this mask, pretending to be somebody they're really not, deeply afraid that someone's really going to find out what's going on inside of them. Sometimes we can even get religious and say things like, God is good all the time. Praise the Lord. When all along we may be deep down inside, worried and fearful that if they knew about me, would they still accept me? This is why God calls us to confess to one another. Not for salvation. Not for salvation, but for healing. For deliverance. You see, guys, when we're vulnerable and we bring our sin to the light of maybe one other person, the darkness is power breaks and the mask comes off. And we become ourselves. We become ourselves. Our true selves. When we confess, listen, when we confess to another and you're still accepted by others, you start to realize that, hey, I'm okay after all. I'm good. I'm okay. You start to realize that other people have the same problems. Other people have been through the same thing, have done the same thing. You're not alone. And when that begins to happen, the devil's power begins to fall off of you. You begin to recognize that you're still accepted even when your worst was in the light. Guys, that's true healing. In all the years of counseling, that is the most healing time I've ever seen. Ever. It's true healing. It's Jesus setting you free. It's Jesus coming into that session or that counseling or that prayer session. It's Jesus coming in there and He sets you free. John 8:36 says, when the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Amen? So who do I confess my sins with? No, I'm going to close in just a minute. I recommend that you start with someone you trust with your heart. It needs to be a person in your life that you feel comfortable with and safe confiding in. Some of you may need to do this, and most of you need to. I recommend it be a very mature Christian. Everybody here? A very mature Christian. Because they, more than anyone else, should understand the need for forgiveness. And that they too have fallen short of the glory of God. And they too would understand the need for God's grace and His love and His mercy. They can also pray for you and bless you. If you don't know anyone that you can trust on that deep level, I recommend you reach out to a professional Christian counselor. Are we good? Or a pastor. I happen to be both. I'm always available. You can reach me by a simple phone call or text, and I will meet you. Lynn and I will meet you. If you're a lady, Lynn and I will meet you. If you're uncomfortable with sharing with me, that's okay. I can refer you to one of my many, many, many professional Christian counselors. Marianne and Anita have been through an awesome training. It's a prayer ministry. It used to be called Theophostic. Now they've changed it to Transformation Prayer Ministry. They will be glad. I've already talked with them. They will be glad. Raise your hand, Anita. Marianne, raise your hand. They will be glad to meet with you, especially ladies, you know. I'm sure you can reach out to them, and they'll be glad to pray with you. The point is, find someone you can trust who has a genuine relationship with Jesus. Confession is one of the greatest gifts that God has given us. It's a gift. Here's what it does, and I'll close. It reconnects us to Him through the blood of Christ. It washes us, purifies our souls. It heals us, and it breaks the kingdom of the darkness influence in our lives. We can walk in peace. This is very scriptural. What a gift from God. I encourage you to go. The Holy Spirit's dealing with you, and live it out. Let's pray. Everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I just pray for my brothers and sisters. Let's pray that you minister them and their hearts. Lord, you said to search our heart, O Lord, and see if there's any unclean thing in us. Or as they pray about something they may have to deal with or pray about or share, Lord, let them know that they don't have to pour out every negative thing to everybody. Just find that one person that they can meet with and feel good about and they can share. And find that healing that only comes through you, Jesus. Father, maybe someone here this morning that's never accepted Jesus as their Savior. Father, I pray they can do that right now. Just say this prayer with me. Jesus, I repent of my sins. I ask you to forgive me. I believe today that you died on the cross for me. And you rose from the grave for me. I give my life to you. I pray this in Jesus' name.